Well, Advent continues. We continue to light more candles on our wreath. We continue to see the days on the calendar move by. And the world continues to seem ready to rush us right into Christmas. We're not there yet. We're not. We still await all that is to come. But we have hope in the gift that will be given. The last 2 weeks, we celebrated hope and we celebrated peace. And this week, we celebrate love. The third Advent candle is pink. It's not pink because the word is love. In fact, sometimes we do the words in different orders. Sometimes the third week might be joy. Sometimes the third week might be love. The third candle is actually pink out of a long-standing tradition that the third week of Advent is a day to celebrate Mary. You know, Mary. As opposed to M-E-R-R-Y. This is a day that the church reflects on her role in the arrival of Jesus. Our scripture this morning, read during the Advent lighting, of course, that story of the angel coming to Mary. Sometimes, as I said, the day is love, sometimes it's joy, but the week has historically been focused on Mary, the mother of Jesus. In fact, other times, there have been ways that the churches, instead of using hope, peace, love, and joy, picked a different character from the Christmas story for each of the weeks, that we might do John the Baptist 1 week, and the angels 1 week, and Mary 1 week, and we work through different characters from the Christmas story. The scriptures tie in and weave in and out of that process. But I tell you, the only person you never really hear about is Joseph. You don't hear about Joseph. He doesn't get one of the 4 weeks if you do it that way. He doesn't make his way into the scriptures very often. In fact, not only does Joseph not get a Sunday, not only does Joseph not get a candle, Joseph doesn't really get much of anything. Did you know that Joseph is the one person, the only person in the entire Christmas story who doesn't say a single word? Mary talks, Elizabeth talks, the angels talk, the shepherds get to talk, the innkeeper even has a line. Everybody says something, but not Joseph. So for those of you, you know, who might have had stage fright as a child, getting cast as Joseph in the Christmas play, a very good thing, right? The innkeeper has to say, "No room at the inn." But Joseph, he just stands there, not a peep. I've always found this to be a very interesting thing. You know, he is so overlooked. One of the books about preaching at Christmas I have refers to him as the man in the shadows. I was like, what's that all about? Turns out it's because he always, let me move this. He always gets jammed in the back corner of the nativity set. I don't know if you have one set up at home. Like as a kid, we always were like, oh, let's get the cow in there and the donkey and there's Mary. And then Joseph just gets crammed in the back corner. Oh yeah, he's there too. In fact, my son's nativity set, we have trouble picking out who is Joseph. You can't tell the difference between Joseph and the shepherds. So, you know, whatever. He's there. Today on Mary's Sunday, I want to take a moment and talk about Joseph. Because he's got some amazing things to teach us. Here's what we do know. Mary and Joe were engaged. Now, we don't have a lot of backstory. There's no dating history. We don't have any romantic tales of how they met and fell in love. But we do know they were planning to be married. And as the wedding date drew near, Mary had something, let's say, come up. Our scriptures don't tell us what that conversation sounded like. I can only imagine. Mary, I'm so excited to marry you. I know the florist has the flowers ready, and I hear your mom has been making a dress for you. Yeah, about that. We're going to have to make some alterations to the dress, Joseph. Oh, why's that, Mary? Well, there was this angel. Maybe it's a good thing there aren't too many words of Joseph from that portion of the conversation. You know, he doesn't actually say anything, but what we do have are Joseph's actions. His actions speak very loudly. I want you to hear how the Gospel of Matthew tells us part of the story. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Christ, took place. When Mary, his mother, was engaged to Joseph, before they were married, she became pregnant by the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her husband-to-be, was a righteous man because he didn't want to humiliate her. He decided to call off their engagement quietly. Now, as he was thinking about this, an angel from the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because the child she carries was conceived by the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you will call him Jesus, because he will save his people." Now, all of this took place to fulfill what the prophet had spoken. "Look, a virgin will become pregnant and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." When Joseph woke up from his dream, he did just as the angel had commanded him and took Mary to be his wife. Now, we need to visit an important contextual detail here. Even before the angel shows up and says, "Yeah, you should still marry the girl," even before the angel shows up, Joseph has already made an extraordinary decision. A pregnant fiancé was cause for public humiliation. Not for him, but for her. He could have thoroughly, not only embarrassed her, but put her in a place of physical harm. And this is hard not to put our own contemporary lens on this moment, but he would have been completely justified, following both the cultural and legal norms of the day, to have just put her through all sorts of embarrassment, sent her away to keep his own honor. He already decided he wasn't going to do that. It didn't take an angel for him to make that decision. In his own heart, he knew, "Look, this isn't how I thought things would go. This isn't how I plan stuff, but I love her. Let's just let this go away quietly." That little line in there speaks so much that he was planning on dismissing her quietly. It tells us he was an extraordinary guy and that he decided to choose relationship over rules. I like that about him. But there's even more to consider. Again, without words, Joseph ends up using his actions to speak to us in the story. Joe gets his visit from the angel, and as we discussed last week about peace, he's told to not be afraid. He's invited into peace. And then this angel gives Joseph a gift that we all receive each and every Christmas. The angel extends to him an invitation for a relationship. This is one of the divine gifts that we receive and celebrate this season. An invitation to a relationship. Now, I've got a friend who stands out in every single one of his family photos. Mainly because he's 6'9", and the rest of his family barely clears 5'11". Big, he's always in the middle of every photo, and the family gathers around him like this. You see, though they're his family, genetically speaking, he comes from a different place. Rob was adopted. And he and I had lots of conversations about this, and I'd ask him some of those standard questions a lot of us will ask of people who have different backgrounds than us, wanting to know more about him and his story. But one of the days I was chatting with him about this, and I was learning about how he saw life and how he saw family. In our conversation, he made a passing, intentionally humorous comment. "You know, Brad, your family got stuck with you. Mine got to pick me." Now, he's right. You can ask my mom. She's visiting today. But I loved the emphasis that he put on the fact that his parents chose him each and every day. When other people would say, "Oh, so they're not your real family," he could say, "Yes, they are. Not only are they my real family, but they chose to have me here." I love the way he saw that. And I bring this up for a very specific reason today. I don't know if you thought about it much, but Jesus, yeah, he was adopted. He was. Much like Moses before him, Jesus is a biblical story of adoption. When that angel appeared to him, Joseph was extended an invitation to relationship. He was invited to say yes to Jesus. And much like my friend points out, how his family got to choose him, Joseph was the first person to ever choose Jesus. Now, Mary got to carry Jesus and birthed him and loved him. There's no question about that. But Joseph was the first person who had an opportunity to choose Jesus with no relationship by blood, but only a relationship of commitment. And he said yes. Now let's be very clear. Joseph had no clue what this relationship was going to bring. He had no idea what it would mean for the rest of his life. He didn't know if he was ready. He didn't know how would it affect things. He didn't know if it would challenge him or change him. He didn't have a clue what was coming. He didn't know much at all. But through the hope and peace and love that he experienced, he chose to accept a relationship with Jesus. That's one reason I love Joseph so much. I think he is as much like us as any other character in the Bible. And I emphasize this because I don't believe any of us can ever truly and fully understand what God's invitation that shows up in that manger is all about. And yet, we are invited. We're invited to bring this child into our lives. It is a gift of this season that we all receive that invitation to a relationship. And like Joseph, we're invited to do so, not just with words, but with actions. You know, maybe it's a good thing that Jesus doesn't have any lines in the scripture. Because then we might think we just need to say some words like he did and that's it. Instead, Joseph responds to that invitation with his life. He responds to it with his living, just as each and every one of us are invited to do this Christmas. I hope you hear the invitation.